You're listening to Smart Talk. I'm Scott Lamar. As COVID-19 spread throughout the U.S., it not only resulted in greater morbidity and mortality, but it also had a detrimental effect on the mental health of the nation. The pandemic is different than other calamities that impacted the country and certain regions' populations. The COVID-19 pandemic has affected the entire population of the country. Mental Health America released their annual report recently, The State of Mental Health in America for 2022, and President and CEO Schroeder Stribling appears on today's Smart Talk to analyze their findings. Ms. Stribling, welcome to the program. Let's start with one of the positives of this report. Pennsylvania ranks third in the country based on 15 different mental health indicators. Now, Pennsylvania actually dropped one place, but still third in the nation. How did you rank states, and why is Pennsylvania third?
Well, first of all, thank you very much for having me this morning, and thank you for highlighting this report and for bringing up the very important topic of the mental health effects of the pandemic, which, as you note, are twinned directly with the health effects and something for us to be paying attention to. And yes, very good news for Pennsylvania, and Pennsylvania should feel good about that, especially for your ranking with regard to youth. So this is a report that we have done for 8 years at Mental Health America, and we look at essentially two issues. One is the prevalence of mental health conditions, and the other is the access to care. So how well are the people with those mental health conditions able to access the help, resources, and support that they need? And we look at 15 different measures and rank the states in order of those two things. So again, yes, Pennsylvania has some good news. Pennsylvania has also expanded Medicaid. We know that that's a measure that greatly improves access. So those are two bright spots.
I want to talk about youth specifically in just a few minutes, but here's kind of the broad question. How would you describe the state of mental health in this country?
We're in a crisis. We've been in a mental health crisis for a while. For all the 8 years that we have done this report, the trend line on both prevalence and access has been negative in the aggregate for our country. We also know that since 2011, the rates of adult suicidal ideation, serious thoughts of suicide, has been increasing. We were already in a very critical situation through 2019, which is the data that this report represents. We both know, as you mentioned at the top of the segment, that 2020 and 2021 absolutely increased the prevalence of mental health conditions. None of us have to use much of our imagination to understand that so many of us have felt the effects directly from it.
When, you know, you mentioned suicide, that is one of the striking findings of this report, is that so many more people, now you mentioned adults, but so many more people were having thoughts of suicide. What did the report show?
Well, we see that, first of all, in 2019, we see that about 50 million American adults were experiencing some mental health condition. Now, that could include depression, and that could include thoughts of suicide or thoughts of self-harm. We know that more than half of those adults were not connected to the care that they needed. The picture is more dire for youth. We see that 10% of youth experienced a mental health condition. Even more concerning for youth of color, where 15% of youth of color experienced a mental health condition during that time, and 60% of those were not connected to services. So this issue of suicidal ideation is something to take very seriously, and it is something in the report. You might note for Pennsylvania that there is a fairly high degree of adults reporting suicidal ideation in Pennsylvania. There is something that all states are and should be working on this year that I'd like to emphasize and is called out in the report, which is the implementation of a new mental health crisis response system called 988. That will be rolling out this year. It's federally approved, and it is now up to the states to enact the legislation that will effectively implement this mental health crisis service, response service. Essentially, you can think of it like a 911, except that we're applying a customized mental health approach instead of a police and criminal justice approach to mental health crisis. With regard to the issue of suicidal thinking and the danger of suicide in particular, this 988 implementation is very, very important.
So just so we have this clear, what you're saying is that someone, like today, if there's an emergency, you want the police or you want an ambulance, the fire department, you call 911. You would be able to call 988 on your phone, your cell phone or your house phone?
Yes, that's correct. And that will be live as of July of this year. But again, I want to emphasize that it will only work and be effective if states focus on the implementation. It's approved by the federal government, but states must pass legislation. Pennsylvania has not done this yet. So it's something for the lawmakers, policymakers, advocates in your state to focus on, is what will be the effective implementation for 988. It has to be funded and it has to be implemented and designed in such a way so that there will be appropriate outreach teams or warm lines or hotlines or ways to get people to the right services when they're in crisis. So it's coming down the pike and we have to be prepared for it, but we have to implement it well. And that's now up to each state.
I have to admit that I'm a bit surprised we haven't heard more about that, even though it can be implemented in July of next year. So we're looking, nine months down the road. I would think that we would hear more about this.
Well, then I'm glad we're talking about it today.
Yeah.
This is our report is a great opportunity to talk about it. There is a special page in our report about 988 implementation, and I would encourage everyone to read our report and see that and get involved as advocates and concerned citizens. And you can see the report at mhanational.org. And it has an interactive map so that you can drill down on some more detail if you're interested in your locality or other issues.
So there are many reasons for why people may consider suicide. But I will ask the question anyway. Do we know why so many more people were thinking about suicide over the past 2 years?
Well, I think that a very reasonable conjecture would be what the mental health effects of the pandemic have been. Social isolation is profoundly negative for our mental health. And that was the mitigation measure that worked best to protect our physical health. This, we have to, I think, reckon with that. But also there was all of the fear and the uncertainty. And this is not over yet, as we know. We're still going through this. So I think there, sometimes we call suicide as inside a category of something called deaths of despair. And this has been a time when people have really dealt with a great deal of despair, anxiety, and depression. There has been a lot of public discourse about this. I have been very grateful for the public figures that have come forward and have talked about depression. That depression is definitely the key risk factor that we're looking for if we're going to be looking out for indications of suicidal thinking. So we look at the athletes or even at the beginning of the pandemic, Michelle Obama talking about depression. Very important that we publicly talk about all of this.
Just yesterday, Lane Johnson, who plays on the offensive line for the Philadelphia Eagles, he missed three games, came back, said that he had been suffering from anxiety and depression. When you have someone who's 6'5", 330 pounds, and you think that nothing can hurt a person like that, comes out and says that they were depressed, that they were suffering from depression, and they missed games, that probably goes a long way for some people looking at it and saying, oh, if Lane Johnson can suffer from depression, So can I. Maybe it's not the stigma that I thought it was. Anyway, just throw that out there. You mentioned youth. In the report, you talk about the young people experiencing a major depressive episode. What did the report find?
Well, we found that in the 2019 snapshot, about 10% of youth had experienced a major depressive episode. And the picture is even more concerning for youth of color, where about 15% of youth had experienced a major depressive episode. And again, we'll keep in mind that this is 2019 information, and we know that the effects, the mental health effects of the pandemic have been particularly hard on youth age 11 to 17. What I want to add to what our report said, just to bring that up to date a little bit more, because we have a free online screening program that where anyone can come and screen themselves if they're concerned about their mental health. And during these past 2 years, we've had an over 600% increase in the usage of that. The great majority of that increase has been by youth, and where we've seen the highest risk factors for depression, for thoughts of self-harm and suicide, are amongst youth, and they are amongst especially youth of color. So this is really obviously an area where we need to focus. These are our future leaders. These are our future, and these are the children that we care about. So this is an important thing to understand, the degree of crisis that they're in, and what kind of access and services that we can bring to them, particularly school-based services, which are the most effective.
What about substance use? We are hearing more recently about how substance use disorder has actually increased across the country during the pandemic. What did the report show?
Well, I think you're probably exactly right that when this is going to take further study, because again, we don't have 2020 or 21 data. However, anecdotally, I think we can all note that there has been an increase in substance use during these 2 years. And of course, we had a record number of opioid overdoses last year. So our report from 2019 shows that 8% of adults and 4% of youth were acknowledging that they had a substance use condition. We can fully well, as you note, expect those numbers to rise when we look at the 2020 and 21 data. And I think it's really important that we not silo this apart from other mental health conditions. It's all a part of behavioral health conditions, all a part of our health. They are one thing. So this, you're right, this is another area where we have to seriously focus our efforts and also understand that a lot of times substance use might be comorbid with or occur at the same time with other mental health conditions or physical health conditions.
We only have about 45 seconds left. I want to thank you very much for being with us today. How do you want this report to be used?
Well, first of all, I want it to be used in the way that we're doing right now. I hope that all that local outlets take a look at this report, understand how they're doing locally, understand that we need to increase access to the greatest degree possible right now to deal with the mental health crisis facing our country. Mm.
Mental Health America President and CEO Schroeder Stripling, thank you very much for being with us today.
Thank you very much.
I'm Scott Lamar. Have yourself a great day.